Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, this is Mental Health Week. I don't know who decides these things, but we decided it would be a great opportunity to share some things that have been on my heart recently concerning what Scripture says about mental health. So Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week, we're sharing messages that I've recently preached from the Scriptures about mental health. And then Thursday, we have a wonderful interview with my daughter-in-law, who has had her own struggles. And then on Friday, we're going to interview my dear friend Sam Thielman, Dr. Sam Thielman, an MD, PhD from Duke University, who is a distinguished psychiatrist and a precious brother in Christ. God bless you. I hope these messages will encourage you greatly. If you would, please open your Bible to Psalm 42 and 43. This is God's word. "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. A friend of mine who's a pastor in Pennsylvania, Dr. Mark Crumpler, posted a devotional, and the title of it was Fix Your Mind. I'm not going to preach his devotional to you, but it definitely helped orient my prayers, and as I prayed and studied, I felt like the Lord was saying, it's time to do a topical series regarding mental health. Now, I need to give you a disclaimer. First of all, I am not a doctor or a licensed counselor. I know a lot of doctors, including psychiatrists and licensed counselors, including PhDs, and some of them are actually sane. I need to clarify that we are not taking a break from the scriptures. We're still going to be looking at what God says, but it's going to be topical instead of just our usual exposition, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Thirdly, third disclaimer, I'm not telling you all your problems will be solved and you won't have any struggles anymore. But I can guarantee some things based on God's word. Number one, God made you and knows all about you. And that is vital for you to understand. God made you, and he knows all about you. He knows about your situation far better than you ever will. Secondly, our problems are temporary. If you are in Christ, you are in a process of sanctification, being refined by God. You have already, if you're in Christ, you have already been justified. Jesus' sacrifice paid our debt in full. He bore the wrath that we deserve. And now he's in the process of changing us from the inside out. Positionally, we are already sanctified and perfect in Christ. Experientially, we're a work in progress. Okay? Two aspects of sanctification, positional and progressive. Both are important to understand. God isn't looking and saying, well, if you clean up your act, then I'll love you. He already loves you, and he is in the process of cleaning you up from the inside out. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful. Thirdly, Jesus offers hope and healing. Now, I can guarantee you that even though some problems are seasonal, in other words, temporary in the short term, other problems are pretty much lifelong. It's an ongoing struggle. And as long as you are in this earthly tent, you're going to struggle with some problems. The Apostle Paul had one that was so horrible, he identified it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as a messenger of Satan to harass him. But that problem was a safeguard against Paul having a bigger problem, which is pride. Now, I got to say, I think most of us would, given a choice, take pride. But that's because we're dumb and selfish and not as sanctified as we need to be. Because the fact is, it's much better to suffer with some kind of chronic problem, even when it's excruciatingly painful, than it is to think that everything's fine and you're tremendous. God is so blessed to have me on the team, okay? No. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. So, we're going to talk about this because God talks about it. God's word talks about it. The focus is going to be just kind of on an overview, including the fact that we are complicated beings. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 that he's praying for us to be sanctified in our spirit, soul, and body. You are not just a one-dimensional or two-dimensional person. And we see an example of how that should work itself out in Psalm 42 and 43. Because there you have a fella who is having a terrible time. He feels forsaken by God. He can't sleep, and he can't stop crying. After my heart surgery, I found that my emotions, which have always been accessible, were even closer to the surface. And as I said to Susan, they kept asking me, I mean, it's one of the things they're supposed to ask you when you're in cardiac rehab, are you having a problem with depression? And I'd say no, because my outlook really is positive. But I said to Susan, I'm sure I'm not depressed, but you shouldn't tear up at a John Deere commercial. You know? I mean, our body and our emotions are connected. Our emotions are impacted by things like certain chemicals in the brain. Famously these days, serotonin. Serotonin is a very important aspect of your brain health. And with certain medications, SSRIs, it's possible to modify the way your body processes serotonin, and people who have struggled with anxiety and depression often find enormous help with a pill. Thank God for the pill.
Pastor, I don't believe it's good for people to become dependent on medications. It's just it's not godly.
My immune system is so hypervigilant that it wiped out virtually all the melanin in my skin. Oh, I can live without it, okay? I'd love to be able to tan, but I have a skin problem, vitiligo, and you go from being, there's a little patch of white skin there, to being kind of like a leopard with patches all over, to eventually just saying, there's a little patch that still has some color to it. And that was done by my autoimmune system. Well, okay, there are medications you can take for that, but it's not worth it to me. I don't care. I really don't care. But then, having gotten rid of my melatonin, my autoimmune system decided to target something else. And it went after my thyroid. And I began to feel kind of run down. My late 50s was really, I thought, I'm getting old fast. I'm just wearing out. This is really bad. And then, lo and behold, they discovered it's because my thyroid wasn't producing enough thyroid chemicals, hormones. Yes, even men can have hormone issues. And so, they gave me something for it. Synthetic thyroid hormone. And I'm back. It's wonderful. If I take synthetic thyroid, I'm helped. Some people I know, there'll be people who will say, please don't do that. It's not good. Well, I'm telling you, it sure beats not having enough thyroid. Well, aren't there things you could do dietary-wise? Perhaps so, but I'm happy with that one little pill in the morning. Okay? It has been a huge blessing from God, and I thank God for that. And I believe that if your brain is having a hard time with certain chemical shortages, there's nothing in the world that is wrong with taking a little something that really helps, that doesn't do a bunch of harm, and has saved people's lives by lifting them out of depression. Anxiety and depression can be helped enormously by taking a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. Well, did you know that serotonin isn't just produced in your brain? Most of the serotonin in your body is produced in your gut. The Bible, speaking about people's emotions, often talks about our bowels. It's not usually translated that way because we just don't talk about bowels. But the fact is, the Bible treats your intestines as something that not only were designed by God, but actually are important and are connected to your emotions. And the Bible talked about it that way long before our current scientists began to figure it out. Isn't that interesting? Almost as if the Creator knows. So, your body has an impact on your emotions, and your emotions have an impact on your body. Really? Yeah. If you don't think that stress takes a toll on your physical health, you not only haven't read the medical literature, you haven't read your Bible. Because the Bible talks about the fact that believing the truth about God actually brings health to our bodies. So does that mean if I have good theology, I won't have any physical problems? No. It means that if you have bad theology, your health is going to be even worse. That's what it means. You and I are complicated creatures, magnificently designed by God, experiencing not only the blessings of His design, but also the results of the fall. We suffer as a result of our sin. We suffer as a result of other people's sin. And we suffer because other people are suffering as a result of the fall. Everybody that I know either is dealing with mental health issues or is dealing with people who are dealing with mental health issues. May not be you. It may be somebody you love dearly. But there's a whole lot of problems going on. I put together a list of a few things. Anxiety. That is supposedly the most widespread mental disorder in our culture here in this country. Anxiety and depression. Alzheimer's. You talk about a problem that is widespread and getting more so. Alzheimer's is a huge problem, and there are other kinds of senile dementia besides Alzheimer's, but it's the most common and the most famous right now. What about autism? If you've had to deal with somebody who is severely autistic, you know that that is a problem. It's a great hardship, and it doesn't just affect the individual, it affects the family. And some people who are not severely autistic, like my cousin, he was less so. He's now in heaven and he's perfectly fine. And now he won't mind my telling you about this. He also suffered with anxiety and depression. It was extremely debilitating. And he had OCD. One of my favorites because that's the direction I lean in. All right? Mine has not been debilitating, thank God. But I can guarantee you this. God, who made you, loves you. And He knows all about all of our problems. And not only does your body affect your emotions affect your body. And Psalm 42 and 43 show us that we've got to allow God's Spirit working with our spirit to be the controlling factor in our response to our problems. What happens here in this psalm is a beautiful picture of the way we are supposed to be being sanctified by God's grace. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Who's speaking there? His Spirit is speaking to His soul. His Spirit is saying, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. And the soul is still downcast. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will give up. Oh, I'm sorry, I misread that. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, By day, verse 8, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? He's able to express what he's feeling, but he doesn't stop there. His spirit responds to his soul and says, why are you so downcast? Why so disquieted? You and I need to learn to rely on the Lord's Spirit in us. I'm speaking to Christians. To rely on the Lord's Spirit in us to answer our flesh with truth. When I feel like nobody loves me, everybody hates me, guess I'll go eat worms. When you feel that way, you've got to be able to say, this is crazy. I know better than this. God's word is true. My problems are temporary, whatever they are. I have a friend who was in our church on Cape Cod, wrote a powerful book with some bad language, I warn you, about his journey with Alzheimer's. He's a brilliant writer, an investigative reporter. He's won all kinds of awards. He's been a newspaper publisher and sharp, sharp fella, brilliant mind. And like a bunch of my friends, he's developed Alzheimer's. And so he chronicles very carefully and methodically and beautifully his struggle with this disease. It's called On Pluto by Greg O'Brien. Now, what do you do in that situation? Well, it's a progressive problem. Could God heal it? Yes, absolutely. Does God typically do so? No. Are there medications you can take and things you can do? Oh, yes, yes, yes. And he's an amazing example of somebody who has fought that illness courageously and for more than a decade. Okay? But there are all kinds of reasons why people have problems. Some of them are physical. Some of them are emotional. There are people who've been through all kinds of emotional trauma that you cannot imagine. And if you are married to someone who was abused in their past, don't take it personally that it has an impact on your relationship. And there are folks, a lot of folks, not just military vets, but others, including a lot of abuse victims, who suffer with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. It is a real problem that we need to recognize and deal with and do what we can. Not only that, but there is schizophrenia. One of my friends in North Carolina has had many conversations with me about how challenging it is to live as a schizophrenic. He didn't want to be schizophrenic. He didn't choose to be schizophrenic. He didn't make himself schizophrenic, but he has schizophrenia. And he said, some days I'm fine, and some days, all of a sudden, the whole world becomes a totally terrifying and confusing place. What about bipolar disorder? What about substance abuse and addictions of various sorts? It's a huge problem. And it's devastating. What about the professional football players who didn't just have their knees damaged or their other joints, but they had repeated concussive trauma to the brain and then develop what the NFL doesn't want people to know, and that is horrible mental illness as a result of brain trauma. I haven't just watched a special about that. A dear friend of a friend is one of the guys who's had that problem. The fact of the matter is, there are people who are in car crashes and bike crashes and other kinds of accidents and end up with mental illness as a result of brain trauma. Because the brain just doesn't work as well. Our precious son, our oldest son, is living with us because of it, when he had just paraplegia and other complications from spina bifida, he was able to live on his own. But as he began to have short-term memory loss, it became more and more severe. It became necessary for him to live in a supportive environment. So he lives with us. He's still brilliant, okay? And you know, I went in and sat with him for a while, and at one point, Paul answered the question, and we said, good job, Paul. And it turned out he was wrong. And I said, well, Paul, you can be wrong a lot, and we'll still think you're right unless they tell us on TV. Because he is so knowledgeable, so well-read, he's absolutely brilliant about stuff he learned a long time ago. But what did he have for lunch? That's a stretch. Okay? Short-term memory is gone with repeated trauma to his brain. 43 years old, he's had over 40 surgeries. So, should he feel badly about the fact that something beyond his control? No. He should rejoice in the fact, and he does rejoice in the fact, that God has a plan for his life. And that God is glorified through his life. But you and I are going to be, God willing, looking at some other aspects of fixing our minds. Because the Bible tells us we're supposed to fix our minds on him. It's not just repairing our minds. It's about focusing on what God says is true, so that when we feel physically or emotionally like the pits, we know something more. And so you have a spirit, you have a soul, you have a body, and the spirit, under God's leadership, needs to be in charge. You need to do, and I need to do, what the psalmist does in Psalm 42 and 43. And that is, when you physically can't sleep and you're crying too much and you feel forsaken by God, you need to say to your soul, why are you downcast? Why so disturbed? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Well, I don't like feeling this way. Well, neither did the psalmist. He says, why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Why am I going through this? Why have you forsaken me? And his spirit says, God has not forsaken you. You're going to get through this and you're going to be okay. We need to know that. You believe that? Do you believe that God loves you and has a plan for you, and that Jesus died for you because you are precious to him? He laid down his life to save you. And I'm telling you, you need to believe the good news. You need to believe that you are loved, dearly loved, because it's true. Are you going to tell me how to get over my problems? I wish I could, but you know, what I can tell you is there are some things that God tells us to do, and therefore we need to do them. My friend Mark Crumpler, in his series, talked about, if I went out to run a 10K today, I couldn't do it. But I can walk around the block. And if I keep walking around the block, I'll get to where I can jog around the block. And if I start jogging around the block, I'll get to where I can jog longer distances. And if I keep it up, I'll get to where I can run a 10K. You understand? You see, some of us look at our problems and we feel like, well, I don't think I can fix this in an afternoon, so I'm just not going to worry about it. That is stinking thinking, as they say in recovery. Okay? You're not going to fix it in an afternoon, but you can start on the right path. I encourage you to realize that God loves you, has a plan for you, and that you will one day be with him if you are in Christ Jesus. And that, folks, is a reason to rejoice. Amen? Well, are you going to tell us anything about how to help people who they're the ones with the problem? Yeah, that's week three. Okay. But first, you got to realize that you got a problem also. All of us do. We don't have the same problem, but all of us have areas where we need to grow, where we need to be changed. And God isn't saying, if you've got a problem, go straighten it out and then come back and I'll see you. God lives within us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we can ask or imagine. So, I hope that you will be encouraged knowing that God has good things in store for you, and not just the next 2 weeks.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.